Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. A couple things I want to mention real quick. At least one thing. Thirsty Thursday. We got a lot of folks, man. We're out and about. They always ask, where are you at next week? When you coming back to this side of town? So I want to make sure we announce tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday. We will be, ooh, that sounds so good. Turn me on, Tyler. Buffalo Wild Wings up in New Caney. Buffalo Wild Wings up in New Caney tomorrow for Thirsty Thursday. Tyler, do you know where we are Football Friday?
Football Friday, we are at East River 9.
East River 9, once again. That's right, because you know what I noticed earlier? I figured they had a Twitter. They didn't have no Twitter because you didn't.
Yeah.
At least you couldn't find it. Either way it goes.
No, yeah, they don't. They need to get with the times.
And I'm going to tell you what, we may need to check the weather. Get up to speed, will you? Come on, man. X is the way to go, man. Forget that TikTok and all that stuff that all these kids are making
Zoom.
Don't forget that. That's it, man. East River 9 Football Friday, Thirsty Thursday tomorrow, Buffalo Wild Wings up in New Caney. So, hey, check it out, man.
And just to add to that, Clint, I would say you can go if you want the whole list of locations. We got that posted on our social media, and there's a list of it on sportsradio610.com under our events page, the events tab. Got Thirsty Thursday up top and Football Friday right below there. So check those out. In case you want to plan ahead even, and come check us out this week. But if you want to plan ahead, you can do that.
All my Eastsiders always complaining about us not coming to the East Side. Hey, man, East River 9, hell, it's in the name. Come on through. It ain't hard to find. Come on through. Hang out.
You going to make me come into the city?
Great view of downtown. Yeah, no, Ma, you got to come into the city, Ma. You can make your short little trip over to East River 9,
baby.
That
is one of my favorite drops. That's one of my favorite drops.
All right, we've had one day here with the Houston Texans, one day of heavy work. Wednesday's a heavy day after an off day on Tuesday, even though teams the caliber of Houston, there's a lot of work getting done on Tuesday that we just don't hear about. But Wednesday is the first day that we get to hear from D'Amico Ryans. He spoke. He spoke for damn near 15 minutes. But really, really good with the media. And there's a couple things that stuck out now. And T. Mill being one of the best in the game, he pulled him in a break, and we're going to be able to bring him back to you. Circle back to this right here. I think this is an overarching question of the first month of the season. This offensive line, the next step, I think, coming into the season, the next step for this football team was going to be for this offensive line to turn it up a notch. This offensive line to not only give C.J. Stroud the opportunity to throw the football and spin it around the park and make plays with all these explosive weapons, but also run the football better and take this team to the next level. That ultimately is, to me, the biggest next-level type move the Texans can make is to be able to run the football. You do that, you are a legit Super Bowl contender any way you slice it. I don't care how much of a roller coaster the season is. You are that level of contender. So here is D'Amico Ryans. He was asked specifically about the offensive line struggles. Here's D'Amico Ryans.
Like you said earlier, Sarge, with the question, not making excuses for our offensive line. It's been, you know, up and down. It hasn't been, you know, all good. And that's part of the season, right? It's part of that first month of the season. You're finding your way and you're not playing your best ball when you first start, but it's a matter of getting better throughout the season. And that game last week versus the Jags, I saw our O-line take a tremendous step toward getting better. Great job with the protections, giving CJ time to make those plays down the field to Nico. So I see progression. I see our offensive line getting better, and they'll continue to get better as the season goes on. So I'm proud of the work that they're putting in, right, to dial in on the preparation, to dial in on getting better each and every week. So we'll see that continue to trend in the right direction.
It's got to trend in the right direction quick. We know this team can protect. You've got millions and millions and millions of dollars invested in the tackles at this on this football team. We know in ideal scenarios, for the most part, they're going to end up being able to protect fairly well. I don't put any stock in the fact that they haven't been able to protect to date with C.J. Stroud. I think when it matters most, they spread defenses out. Guys know who they have. I think pass protecting is the least of my concerns for this football team. Obviously, being able to run the football is a different story. So we're going to get to some things later in the show that I think could help immediately, B. Scott. But I know this stuck out. His response stuck out to you about the offensive line.
Yeah, because he says that it's gotten better, and I'm not going to dispute that. I think it has gotten better. But I would key in.
I mean, you got to define that. You mean from week three to week four?
Right.
Okay.
Right. He says it's gotten better from week three to week four, but he has to follow that up with it still needs to get better.
Yeah.
Like getting better isn't quite good enough. You know, the fact that it may have improved from one week to the next does not mean that it's up to standard. And there's some film out there that you can go look at, or if you watch the game, you can see plenty of examples of that, of them still not necessarily handling stunts well. Kenyon Green, after having a really good first week, I thought, you know, the week one game against the Indianapolis Colts, where he was really strong, has had now three games where he wasn't necessarily what you want him to be. So I think overall, and I would agree with your point about the bigger issue being the run blocking and as opposed to the pass protection. But the fact that the pass protection has not been there yet, I think, is something that they still need to pay attention to. Now, they got enough money invested into their tackles. And look, they've paid or drafted high for everybody else on that team, the interior offensive line guys. But it has to be better than that. I do not think that you can live on, and you know this, Clint, they cannot live on this C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins scramble drill that all of us like to to wow ourselves or to be wooed by. Like, that's not something that I feel like they can live by. They absolutely have to pick that up and be better. But really, to the point of not running the football as well as you'd like for them to, that has been the missing element to this offense all along, and it continues to be.
Yeah, I'm leaning heavily into last year when I think, you know, C.J. Stroud. I think a lot of the protection issues can be sidelined, if you will, with C.J. Stroud playing a different brand of quarterback. I think the toughest thing for me to watch at this point in time with the offensive line is the struggles that they have in pass protection that weren't there overall last year. I think they were actually there last year. I think you just had a quarterback playing a brand of football that covered up for mistakes. The ball was out so quick, you didn't know if Kenyon Green missed a block. I know he wasn't out there. I'm just using that as an example. You didn't know if your center got turned sideways immediately because the ball was out right so quick, right?
Right.
I think there is – there's some work that C.J. Stroud has to do with his approach to the game. It's hard to tweak it overnight. It's hard to tweak it in the first month of the season when for 6 weeks in training camp you've been working on being aggressive, which they were very vocal about. That's what they were trying to work on and trying to get better at, was stretching the field. I said it when I first heard it from C.J. Stroud. It was, you know, I beat the dead horse of, hey, this is a concern. Like, this year, ultimately, if you're talking Super Bowl contending, like, this year hinges on their ability to run the football. If they don't run the football better, they're not going to scare a Super Bowl, period. I don't care how good CJ is. If you just want to talk about having a year where you feel like you put a better Texans product on the field, an offense that maybe took the next step kind of deal, and as a team you take the next step but you're not quite there, is – it's on CJ to play a better brand and a more, I don't want to say conservative, but boring brand of football.
Yeah, that's probably a better word. A more
I used to say boring all the time because that's what CJ defined it as.
The word I would use would be less greedy.
Yeah.
You know, less greedy, more boring, more conservative, like whatever word you want to use. But I do think that you're hitting on something here between, it's two things. You mentioned CJ. But it's CJ and Bobby. It's a combination of the two.
Yeah, I left Bobby out for a reason. I'm going to get to his ass.
And I'm sure you will. And I'm going to give you the floor for that. But just to bring this point home, it is a combination of the brand of football that CJ's playing and these long development concepts and plays that Bobby that he's also calling. So I feel like the game needs to be called slightly differently to mitigate for some of these shortcomings that they're having along the offensive line, on top of the fact that C.J. Stroud, like, for example, that illegal man downfield that Kenyon Green had in the last game, that was just a lack of understanding of exactly what the hell C.J. Stroud was back there doing. Is he taking off? Is he going to throw the ball? Is he kind of – his eyes downfield?
Piece of positivity.
And then you just see Kenyon Green out there just looking for work, you know. So I obviously you don't want that, but that was when I wasn't as mad at, because he was trying to catch a rhythm for what exactly his quarterback was doing behind him. And I'm not even blaming anybody specifically on that play, but that's just an example of, hey, guy gets a penalty, but it's really born out of everybody trying to maybe do a little bit too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a side adjustment, and CJ held it longer than he should have, and Kenyon was probably doing his job and just got caught up and didn't know the side. They're not even aware of those kind of side adjustments. I would bet that's a side adjustment, by the way.
Yeah.
The one you're talking about. It'd be hard for me to think that Kenyon misheard and did that. You know, he was the only one that did it. Like, that would have been tough. But we'll get to more of this offense, because I think there's a bigger conversation to be had after watching the All-22. But more on D'Amico Ryans. He did let the cat out of the bag on a few guys that we don't have an injury report yet, I don't believe. But he did let the cat out of the bag on a couple of guys that are back. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about a couple of key returning big-time contributors to starters for this team.
Yeah, very excited to have Tank back. Definitely missed him last week. Tank's big time player for us, so anytime we can, you know, we missed him. And so to get him back is huge for our offense and what we're able to do. So excited to see Tank back out there today. And also Jimmy, just him being out there and his versatility to help our defense is going to be big for us.
Yeah, look, I do think that those two guys, I don't know that Tank, I said this last week, B. Scott, when we found out he wasn't playing, the way that Tank has been used this year, I don't know how much, to be completely honest with you, I don't know how much you miss that guy on the field on Sunday. Now, the Tank that we know as fans and that we saw play last year before the injury, obviously you miss that guy. But now there's a different dynamic with Nico and Diggs and Tank and Dalton Schultz, and there's a lot of mouths to feed, and it just seems like if you look at the percentage of snaps against Minnesota, obviously didn't play this past week, if you just look at kind of the way he's used, a little bit more of a gadget guy, I think it's easy to get to a point where you go, I mean, Tank's, it's not like you're losing a guy that's getting 12 or 15 targets a game, that's getting 8, 10 catches a game, that's targeted that often.
So, but here's what I don't understand, Clint. Whose fault is that? Or is it, I mean, who, is it just is that a product of the circumstances of who's on the team? Yeah. Or should there be a more concerted effort, given how unique of a talent that Tank is, to make him, not want to say a focal point, but to give him a little bit more focus in what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm always going to lean towards giving Tank more opportunity. That guy just has a knack for making catches, making plays. I know CJ prides himself on throwing a perfect ball, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Tank makes a play. The play breaks down. Tank somehow gets open for a monster play, a touchdown, a game-changing play. We've seen Nico be that guy recently. But to answer your question specifically, I think the Tank Dell not being as big a piece of this offense is two things. I think, one, you've got more mouths to feed, and two, I don't think anybody saw the struggles that this team is having protection-wise coming. I mean, it's been hard to call plays for this team in the past game for two of the four games. And if you want to throw last week in there, I think a lot of that has to do with play design, play call. But, I mean, those middle two games, man, when you look at Chicago and Minnesota, It was rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. I think it was more they got in the game. We're like, damn, we just got to figure out a way to move the football now. Forget getting certain people the football. Forget these packages for certain guys. We got to go to Nico because Nico is our best bet. Yeah. We've got to find ways to get the ball in. I think it's more of that. They went into a little bit more of react mode because they couldn't protect instead of. We're gonna dictate to y'all what the hell's going on.
And obviously, Tank did not play in this last game.
Yep.
So you just take him out there. He's not a factor if he doesn't play. But, yeah, man, I think that there's got to be a way, though. Like, and we were talking a little bit earlier about maybe, you know, changing some of the brand of ball, of being a little bit more boring and not necessarily trying to hit the home run every time. Well, the thing about Tank or one thing that is – so intriguing about him is his home run ability, right? So, like, a lot of the plays that we think about with Tank, we're looking for that home run, and they're not able to really protect it, and that impacts him. And, of course, we have had a couple of instances when he has been out there where they just flat-out missed.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen from time to time. You can't expect it to be perfect all the time. So I think between those two things that, you know, we've had a glimpse of it not being perfect at times, and what you said, they haven't really been in a circumstance or in a situation where that was the best way to call the game.
Well, yeah, you just look at the way these games have flowed. I just doubt that there's been many opportunities, especially if you exclude this game and you exclude game one because they ran it so well. Those middle two games, I don't know how much opportunity there was for Bobby Slowick to feel real comfortable in you know, drawing plays up consistently for one guy, especially not named Nico, who continues to be the difference maker here. The other name that was mentioned was Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward, I do think Jimmy Ward being back just from that veteran leadership, knowing the system, because when he's out, remember Kalen Bullock comes in, who's a rookie. I like Kalen Bullock. I like his ceiling. I like his playmaking ability. But there's when it comes to communicating and offenses are moving around and all these different personnels are in there and you're trying to pressure and you're trying to communicate it, I do think there's a big-time value in having a veteran back there that knows it like the back of his hand, doesn't hesitate in communicating, whether he can or he can't, because we've seen Jimmy Ward obviously be in position to make some big plays this year, but he gets out jumped a couple of times for, jump balls. He's in position to make plays and hadn't made plays, but he's at least there. He's getting guys in the right spot. What we saw last week against Jacksonville a couple of times was scary, and a lot of that would probably be helped by some good communication from a veteran.
Yeah, see, and I don't dispute that, and the veteran leadership part is obvious and the value that he brings to the team from that standpoint. But this is a little bit opposite for me with thinking about Tank and thinking about Jimmy Ward. Because with Tank, I say this, for all that we talked about them not really being able to find plays for him, I still want him out there as opposed to the alternatives, folks that go out there instead, whether it's John Metchie or if they're trying to find stuff for Steven Sims or whatever it is. Like, I prefer it be Tank. I'm not exactly sure if I'm in that same space right now with Jimmy Ward because of what Kalen Bullock is offering you from a physical standpoint, saving a touchdown, kind of just being out there and just being like just faster. Like there's just something to be said for a team that already in the secondary in certain spots is lacking speed. And we'll get to this later on in the show, I'm sure. But from your outside corner to your slot corner, you know, you got spots on that defense where you're lacking speed. I don't mind inserting it in there, inserting it with the rookie safety.
Well, let's do that next. Do we have a problem in Houston? Do we have a DB problem in Houston after four games? We're a month into the season, y'all. Do we already have an issue with cover defenders on this football team? We'll discuss that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Driven deep to right field. Did he get it? Going way back. See ya! A home run! Parker Meadows goes yard, and it's 1-0 Tigers.
Leadoff hitter for the Detroit Tigers goes deep. Ball seemed like it was in the air forever for Hunter Brown to watch and all the Astros fans to watch, but it stayed fair. The score now is 1-0, bottom of six. Hunter Brown was yanked after, I say that negatively, it was not negatively. He went 5 2/3, gave up two hits, one earned run, walked two, struck out nine. Unfortunately, one of the hits that he gave up was that home run you just heard from Parker Meadows. Brian Abreu came in, walked a batter, and then struck out a batter to end the top of the sixth. The Astros are at the plate right now.
Giving up a double play as we speak.
There you go. Alex Bregman was on first, and Yainer Diaz just hit into an inning-ending double play.
I'm sure
bottom of six.
In the stands. Yep.
So we go to the seventh.
We go to
the seventh. We go,
We go to the seventh. All right, let's jump into. We've been trying to hit this topic for a minute. We actually hit it a little bit yesterday, and this is one to me, B. Scott. That I'll be honest with you. Like I've felt that we've had not a problem because there was no evidence there, but the question is, do we have a DB problem, a defensive back problem, a cover defender problem in Houston after 4 weeks? And I was leery of everybody not named Derek Stingley, everybody not wearing number 24, which is Derek Stingley, coming into the season. I needed to see something to have the level of confidence that it appeared that the Texans had in some of these guys. But let me give you a quick rundown. After four games, week one, the Indianapolis Colts explosives were really their entire offense.
Yep.
They hit two or three of them, but I think more importantly, Richardson missed on two, one on Lassiter and one on Stingley, and both of them were throwing the ocean touchdowns, and Richardson missed on, definitely would have changed the game for the Houston Texans. You fast forward to week three, Sam Darnold threw four touchdowns, made it look easy, and you look at some of the matchups that they were able to get. We've talked at length about that. We had Justin Jefferson on Eric Murray somehow early in the game.
Yep.
You got Justin Jefferson on Azeez Al-Shaair early in the game. There were some serious mismatches in that game that I think exposed a couple of guys. Then you look at week four, Bad Trevor. Bad Trevor missed on several explosives, but he still exposed a couple of DBs along the way. And so the reason I didn't mention week two is because you played the Chicago Bears and the pass rush was so dominant that there really ain't a whole lot you can say about the defensive backs. I mean, Caleb Williams is running for his life. So I didn't even care to dig into that. But the three of the 4 weeks, there's no doubt about it, whether we're looking at the crazy amount of explosives or we're looking at teams being able to formationally get the matchup that they want. Last week, it was Christian Kirk in the slot on several guys. It was Eric Murray. It was Petrie.
Yep.
I think it was Bullock one time. So, you know, we've talked about it at length. I heard you talking about it with In the Loop guys yesterday. It's definitely something to keep an eye on, B. Scott, but just your thoughts after watching 4 weeks of defensive football with these cover defenders.
Yeah, it's one where it feels like it could work if everything is perfect, right? Like the front's got to be getting pressure and getting home.
Yeah.
Lassiter's the kind of player, really good football player, but a guy that's got to be in perfect position. And if he's not, or if he's susceptible to a double move, does he have that kind of recovery speed, that athleticism that we see from Derek Stingley on the other side? The answer is probably not. So he's got to be perfect. When he's not, you're susceptible. Obviously, Jalen Petrie is not – he is a fascinating football player in the sense of he offers you so much. Like, he has so much that he brings to the table.
Yeah.
But he also has some glaring imperfections, and they are specific to this discussion that we're having right now in coverage. So what do you do when you lack speed amongst your defensive backs? How do you compensate for that? And I don't have a great answer for it, but it has made me uncomfortable, especially the last 2 weeks, watching them try to cover Justin Jefferson in the slot with safeties and then trying to do it again with Christian Kirk. Like, what do you do when the opposing team's best offensive weapon is not just a receiver, but a receiver that they comfortably and adequately move around through the formation? Like, they put them in motion,
yeah.
They line them up out wide, they'll do whatever they want to do with the guy. And how do you match up with that when, essentially, we know what this defense is. It is a hybrid base/nickel defense. Their nickel is their base, yeah. And their base is their nickel, because Jalen Petrie is functioning as a third linebacker who's playing in the nickel, or nickel who's playing as their third linebacker, depending on the play and depending on how you want to look at it. But that's what the defense is. And so how does that change? Like, what do they do when they find themselves in these type of matchups that are not favorable to them? I honestly don't have a great answer. But to answer your question, do they have a problem? I think so. Like, because to me, what if those things don't happen? What about when the schedule does get better, the quarterbacks get better, the offenses get better? Because we talk about that. Offenses are behind defenses anyway. What about when these guys, the schedule improves and everybody's along a better rhythm? To me, that's going to be a problem, or it has the potential to be a problem.
The key is the quarterbacks that you got coming down the pike here. They're not going to miss the way that these early guys. They're not going to miss the way that Anthony Richardson missed, and they're not going to miss the way that Trevor missed last week.
Well, they're not going to be a rookie like Caleb Williams and have an offensive line like with the Bears.
And just allow the rush to get there. Yeah. I think this is a combination of a couple of things, though, B. Scott, because if we're going to be completely honest about this, against better teams, you know, the factor, you mentioned it, but it's we can't just skim over it. You know what I mean? Like, if this team, and this team is going to have to, period, point blank, they're going to have to rely on pressure.
Yeah.
Right? You got it. You used a number 3 overall pick on Will Anderson, and you went out and made the biggest splash in free agency with Danielle Hunter. And those two cats, and you swung and missed when it comes to difference makers inside at the D-tackle position. Now, what happens is, if you're going to be a pressure defense, the secondary is going to come down and barrel down hard on all the underneath. Don't give away any of the quick, easy throws right now. Make all those difficult. And now if the pressure doesn't get home, all of those guys, even Derek Stingley, are going to be exposed over the top, right?
Yep.
Like you look at like last week, like the crossing route where Trevor Lawrence missed Christian Kirk.
Okay, yeah, Christian Kirk.
Right? If you're going to be a pressure defense and Jalen Petrie's going to be in a man situation, you can't allow the quarterback to be upright long enough for Christian Kirk to run clear across the field 25 yards down the field. Like that's now if you're going to ask Jalen Petrie to do those things, then that's on you, D'Amico, right? You can't like that's on you, pass rush. That's on you, D'Amico. That's on like there's not a safety/nickel defender in this league that's going to run with Christian Kirk 25 yards deep, clear across the field, 40 yards across the field, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not going like that's not good football. It's not sound football. So you've either got to dial up the pressure and get the pressure home, or I heard you talking on in the loop. You better get one of them true corners ready, and he better play at nickel position more often.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's the elephant in the room. The fact that look, Derek Stingley just flat out doesn't do it. And for whatever reason it is, he doesn't do it. But Kamari Lassiter, okay, so fine. Derek Stingley, that's your stud outside guy. So, okay, cool. But Kamari Lassiter, and this is kind of speaking to the way that you talked about him when he was first drafted, he should give you some kind of inside-outside flexibility. He might even be a slot corner. But he should definitely give you, if you feel comfortable with him on the outside.
Good, great point.
He should give you some inside-outside flexibility. Now, that raises another question. Okay, if he's inside, then who's outside? And that's another issue that I've had with them. Is the depth at that position, I think, has been a problem going all the way back to when we realized that C.J. Henderson wasn't going to be a factor on the team. He didn't make the team. Jeff Okuda's hurt. Like, the veterans that they brought that was supposed to be reinforcements turned out not to be that.
Yeah.
So the confidence that I did have in the secondary to begin with, and this is before we got these receipts here, was predicated on them getting home. It was predicated on that pass rush being disruptive and maybe even sometimes dominant. And it hasn't exactly been that, and so this is what we got.
Yeah, you make a great point, man. They're one move away from I think significantly upgrading the secondary, and the secondary might end up being a bigger issue than even I thought it was. But you make a great point. I want to circle back to that a little bit later in the show, man. On Kamari Lassiter could be the key to this thing, but we'll circle back to that later in the show. Right now, coming up next on Sports Radio 610, C.J. Stroud. Tyler, we good there? We rocking and rolling, Bubba?
Oh yeah, we'll have quarterback one ready.
Perfect. C.J. Stroud next right here on Sports Radio 6.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes, sir. We are live at NRG Stadium, and I'm telling you, H-Town Texans fans, this stadium looks is money. I don't know if you heard, but it's H-Town weekend, baby. That H, them alternative colors.
Yes!
Woo-wee! And I ain't going to tell you about midfield. You're going to get here early, good and early, and see it all, man. Sunday's going to be big time. We got the Bills coming to town. Big time, big time AFC matchup. Not just a big game for Houston. This is a big game in all NFL circles, and boy, I know I'm gonna be in the building. If you ain't got your tickets yet, there's several ways you can get them. Make sure you dial it up and get inside this building. And damn it, if you're coming, get in here early. I know tailgating's fun, but get here early, get in the building, and get your mind right with these guys, and let's get them moving in the right direction. We need them against the Buffalo Bills. All right, I told you guys, teased you a little bit, so I'm gonna go ahead and let you have it now. C.J. Stroud, your Houston Texans quarterback, met with the media today. Here's the presser in full.
Stephon, and how good a fit he's been here on and off the field. What's it been like playing with him, getting to know him?
It's been great. You know, I think he got a bad rap, you know, just by the media and, like, by people. But, I mean, he's not been nothing but just amazing to this team and to his teammates. He's helped me out a ton. And, you know, as you can see, we're clicking more and more every game. So, you know, I'm very happy for him. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, he's finally, you know, having fun playing the game and, you know, doing what he loves to do because he loves football a lot. So, you know, just really, really happy to be, you know, a part of his journey. And, like, just being around him has been real awesome.
C.J. Steph has faced every kind of coverage in his career with his various teams. How much of a benefit has that been to the other receivers and also you during the week of preparation?
It's been great. You know, we kind of talked about that, you know, throughout the offseason, just like how they would all, you know, help each other out by, you know, if you want a double tank one night, then the other dudes will go off, or you want a double so on and so forth, then, you know, just basically them eating off each other. And really just, you know, I think a lot of the attention has gone towards either Nico and Steph, and, you know, it's been good to see both of them kind of do well as the year has gone on. So I think they all have helped each other a lot.
From a competitor standpoint, stepping on the field for Josh with Josh Allen for the first time, does that excite you? I know it's obviously a team game, but does that excite you from, like, a competitive standpoint, facing Josh the first time?
Not really. I mean, I'm a big fan of his, really respect him. Met him this offseason, told him that, you know, just a lot of respect for what he does. A heck of a football player, but of course, yeah, my competitive nature is I want to win my one-on-one. But it's not like no added juice or nothing. It's just another week trying to be go 1-0 versus myself. You know, I think whenever I get in my own ways, when I play bad, when I don't play as great as I can, but when I'm, you know, focusing on what I got going on, then that's when I do well. So I'm just going to focus on me, focus on the Texans and my team, and, you know, doing well for myself.
Go ahead, John.
Was that Super Bowl radio road the first time you had met Josh?
I believe so, yes.
Second question. You can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but the pass to Dare that that went for 31 yards per game, was that intended to go deep and then you hit the check down? And if it was, do you feel like that showed a lot of growth in your game? You can correct me if I'm wrong, though.
No, I think you're right. You know, it was that. I mean, we were trying to, you know, get behind the sticks and make a play, but they did a good job of taking all that away. And, you know, the younger CJ would probably still try to chuck it down the field to fit in the window. But, you know, I just took the check down, trusting in Dari, and, you know, he made a heck of a play. So I'm trying to grow on my game as well, just like anybody else, you know, just week by week, taking what the defense gives me, even if that's bettering the field for, you know, punt, you know, and then just being mature that way, like flipping field position, because the younger and, like, more, like, non-controlled aggression quarterback would probably take it down the field and throw an interception, and then you flip the field even worse, you know. So then you give one of your playmakers an op to make a play, and then he did that. So and it even happened on like a 3rd and 8, felt a little bit of pressure, gave it to Dare over the middle, and he got the first down, you know. So like, there's a lot of things that, you know, I feel like I'm definitely getting better and just being more mature, but, you know, I'm trusting in my guys as well while I'm doing that.
CJ, when you went back and you looked at the film from Sunday, what are some of the things that you all can take into this Buffalo Bills game?
Really just getting in our way, you know, just playing complimentary football, helping ourselves out, you know. I think kind of just, you know, what are you doing to contribute to the team win? It's kind of like what I'm getting from this, from the last week's film, is like, are you on your A game every play to do what it needs to take to get a dub? So, I definitely think that popped out on film, and, you know, really, I think that's something that we can definitely get better at, is just playing complimentary football and just helping each other out, helping ourselves out.
What's it like when you're in a situation where you want to get the ball back, you're down 3, you had the 2 pass breakups to get the ball back, but you're also trying to prepare for the next drive? What is that whole vibe like on the sidelines when it's you want it to be in your control, but a couple things have to happen before you get the ball in your hands?
Control the controllables. It's not in my control, so I can't stress over it. Just, you know, I always say, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. And really just play what you see. So I'm not, at least I used to be a control freak, and that's when I was really roller coastery, like, with my emotions. But now I'm just kind of like, you know, it is what it is. Play the next play. If I get my op, try to make the op. If I don't, got to get better from it. But, you know, I definitely don't try to control things I can't control. It's easier said than done, but.
Yesterday at a community event, he's very excited about the start. He says that also he knows the team can play even better. What do you think about that perspective, that, you know, there's more to be done with this team?
I think, yeah, you can tell that we can definitely be better, but to sit 3-1 from the first quarter of the season is definitely a win in my book. But, you know, definitely got to clean up a lot of things to get better. But I think it's very adamant, very noticeable we can get better.
CJ, what was different in that last drive when you were able to get that ball back in the huddle? Was it the urgency? Was it just the moment, and, as opposed to earlier in the second half where the offense was just struggling a little bit?
Some plays work, some plays don't. Yeah, I don't really know what to tell you. You know, it's just sometimes you go out there and it works. Sometimes you go out there and they make plays too. So I don't think anything changed. We just started making plays.
What's it going to take to get Tank rolling kind of like what he was last year? It seems like he hasn't quite been last year's version of Tank just yet. What's it going to take to get him going?
I would say just, you know, just him being himself, our team owning our identity, and really just playing what we see. So, and I think last year is last year, even though, you know, I think he did really great last year. I know he wants to move on from that and do well this year. And he's very motivated. We're motivated to get him rolling too. So, you know, it's part of my job to get him the ball and to make sure that, you know, he gets a fair amount of targets, you know, just like everybody else. So, but no, that's definitely key component to this game is getting Tank Dell going, because I think he's one of the best receivers in the league.
You mentioned the offseason, you know, you guys had target on your back, how, you know, a lot of you guys were leading into expectations internally. You guys had high hopes for you guys. Obviously, the Bills are a team that, you know, have been kind of in that ilk of trying to compete for the championship. That's what you guys are trying to do. This is kind of like that first test of going against a team that's, you know, in that vein that you guys obviously want to be in and can be in. So what's kind of been the approach going into this week? Are you guys made it bigger than it's supposed to be? Are you guys not? Like, what's kind of been the approach this week going into this matchup?
You know the answer to that. No, I don't think. I think every team in the NFL is good. So I don't really look at the Bills like, oh, they're no, don't get me wrong. They are a great football team. Like, they have done what they've done for a very good reason. Like, Josh, I can go on and on about the Bills. Trust me, they are amazing. But once again, you know, we're football players too. We're dogs just like they are, you know. So it's going to be a great matchup. I feel I definitely got a lot of respect for them. Great defense. McDermott calls has a great philosophy on how he calls plays. And, you know, they're playing really well together. And then their offense, of course, they're going to score points. Josh Allen is definitely a top premier quarterback in his league. And I'm a big fan of his. Watch his game a lot. So, you know, just a ton of respect for them. But, you know, I don't look at it as like, up or down, you know exactly what I would say. So, yeah.
We'll close with Aaron. Sorry.
Not trying to sound arrogant, just being real.
CJ, Steph got the touchdown, but had a little option if he wanted to throw it. Did the guys give you tips on run the route, or you don't need their tips from the receivers?
Honestly, like, that wasn't even part of the play. I just was trying to, I seen him kind of get stuck up, and I was like, I'm going to take off, see if he throws it to me. And I didn't, kind of knew I wasn't going to get it, so I just told the DB, gotcha. Like, I grabbed two and freed him up a little bit. So, yeah.
CJ, it's four games into this season, and how much continuity are you building with your offensive line? Because, you know, a large majority, last season, a large part, you didn't have Kenyon, you didn't have Juice, and now they're back. Titus was out for a little bit. How much continuity are you building, finally getting your complete offensive line back?
It's been huge, you know, just to be able to not only just be out there on the field with them, but just also spend time with them away from the field. But, you know, I definitely think, like, they're starting to buy into, you know, what our scheme is about. And you can see that week in, week out, us just getting better up there. And I definitely do think, like, we're just on the way up. I know sometimes it may not look like that because you're getting 1 or 2 yard runs, but they're really, we're really, really, really close, you know. So I'm just super proud of those guys for not, because I mean, they've been, you know, criticized, and even we like, our coaches even coach them probably the hardest out of they coach everybody. And they've done nothing but just, you know, look themselves in the eye and look themselves in the mirror and, you know, just come up to work every day and work and work and work and work and work, you know, and they're the reason why we win games. And that's point blank, period. So,
What about the Bills' defense? What about the Bills' defense? Is their defense so good from what you've seen on them?
Just their ability to bend, not break. You know, like, they don't really give up big plays. They have some guys who play their system very well. I know they're dealing with some injuries. But, you know, Ed Oliver jumps out on film. Vaughn jumps out on film. 50 jumps out on film. Like, the backers play really good in the pass game. I think his name 31, Russell. Great DB. Takes the ball away a lot. Got a lot of respect for him. And then DeMar is playing really good ball as well. So, got some key components on that side and definitely got some playmakers. So, you know, got to be able to take care of the ball and, you know, be able to, you know, just move the ball and score points. All right. Thanks, y'all.
All right, that's C.J. Stroud, Houston Texans quarterback, his meeting with the media today in full. Always solid, as usual, once again. Can we all just agree to do something? Can we quit talking about this Dare Ogunbowale checkdown? I mean, first of all, look.
So much love.
I like the fact. I mean, it ended,
won the game, Clint.
The way the play ended up, yeah. But I mean, we're talking about, like, we're talking about CJ. We're asking questions about CJ's growth and development based off the play. If you really look at it through the quarterback lens, it was not a good, he just happened into the checkdown. He held the football too long. It wasn't like a great decision. It ended up being a great decision, but it wasn't like this, hey, man, perfect timing, hit the check down, and all of a sudden, you know, and Dari went out there and made two, three guys miss to get the first down. So can we just put that to bed, please?
I agree with you. I think that the drive itself, like if you take the drive from beginning to end, that more so shows you, and I wouldn't even say the growth because he did a lot of this last year. So it's just a continuation of what he's been. But I was more impressed with the drive he put together overall. And I thought CJ overall really just had a good game. I know they had that lull there where they couldn't score any points. But I thought CJ in the beginning and certainly on that last drive was very good. That particular play, oh, man, shout out to Dari more than anything. Dari had a good game. He had a couple of spots there where he made people miss.
D'Amico's out here answering CJ Stroud developmental questions off of a late check down. That the reason it was so good is because it was so late that the DBs had gotten 40 yards down the field, and he still had to make two, three guys miss to get the first down. Can we put that to bed, please? The other thing is I really like the fact that D'Amico and CJ in their meetings with media today, they both kind of indirectly let everybody know, like, hey, man, we know it's been sloppy for a month. Yep. We know we're not playing our best ball. Like, we know we're not crazy, which, I mean, look, I mean,
self-inflicted mud, man. Self-inflicted mud.
Yeah, T. I mean, at the end of the day, look, man, I like them at least acknowledging it. All right, two things from I was able to break down just a little bit of the All-22. Two things from the All-22 that of the Jacksonville game that D'Amico has to address and adjust moving forward. This will make the Texans better overnight. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.